Richard Goswami has to come. Shall I read it now before chant the verse? First verse. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Roop Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are always engaged in chanting the holy names of Krishna and dancing. They are just like the ocean of love of God, and they are popular both with the gentle and with the ruffians, because they are not envious of anyone. Whatever they do, they are all pleasing to everyone, and they are fully blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Thus they are engaged in missionary activities meant to deliver all the conditioned souls in the material universe. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, Roop, Sanatan, Raghunath, Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Sri Jiva and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Roop, Sanatan, Raghunath, Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Sri Jiva and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very much enriched in understanding of Lord Chaitanya and who are thus expert in narrating his transcendental qualities. They can purify all conditioned souls from the reactions of their sinful activities by pouring upon them transcendental songs about Govinda. As such, they are very expert in increasing the limits of the ocean of transcendental bliss, and they are the saviors of the living entities from the devouring mouth of liberation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Roop, Sanatan, Raghunath, Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Sri Jiva and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who kicked off all association of aristocracy as insignificant. In order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, they accepted loincloths, treating themselves as mendicants, but they are always merged in the ecstatic ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna and bathe always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Roop, Sanatan, Raghunath, Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Sri Jiva and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are always engaged in worshipping Radha Krishna in the transcendental land of Vrindavan, where there are beautiful trees full of fruits and flowers, which have under their roots all valuable jewels. The Goswamis are perfectly competent to bestow upon the living entities the greatest boon of the goal of life. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Roop, Sanatan, Raghunath, Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Sri Jiva, Sri Gopal, Bhatta Goswami, who were engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord and bowing down in a scheduled measurement. In this way, they utilize their valuable lives, and in executing these devotional activities, they conquered overeating and sleeping and were always meek and humble, enchanted by remembering the transcendental qualities of the Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Roop, Sanatan, Raghunath, Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Sri Jiva Goswami and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who were sometimes on the bank of the Radhakund lake or the shores of the Yamuna and sometimes at Vamshivata. They appeared just like madmen in the full ecstasy of love for Krishna, exhibiting different transcendental symptoms in their bodies, and they were merged in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Roop, Sanatan, Raghunath Bhatt, Raghunath Das, Sri Jiva and Gopal Bhatt Goswami, who are chanting very loudly everywhere in Vrindavan, shouting, Queen of Vrindavan, Radharani, Lalita, O son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you all now? Are you just on the hill of Govardhan or are you under the trees on the banks of the Yamuna? Where are you? These were their moods in executing Krishna consciousness. Shishat Goswami ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 4th chapter, text 67. Matsevaya pratitam te. Salokayadi chatushtayam. Nechanti sevaya purnaha. Kuto anyat kala viplutam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My devotees, who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service, are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya and Shashti, although these are automatically achieved by their service. What then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary systems? Purport. Srila Bilwa Mangal Thakur has estimated the value of liberation as follows. Muktihi Swayam Mukulitanjali Sevate Asman Dharma Artha Kama Gatayaha Samaya Pratikshaha. Bilwa Mangal Thakur realized that if one develops his natural devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukti stands before him with folded hands to offer all kinds of service. In other words, the devotee is already liberated. There is no need for him to aspire for different types of liberation. The pure devotee automatically achieves liberation even without desiring it. Krishna, I seek the blessings of all the devotees, especially all the senior devotees present over here, to speak something for my own purification. We are witnessing in the past few shlokas how Durvas Muni has offended a pure devotee, Amrish Maharaj. And Lord Krishna is very proactive even before Durvas Muni offended Amrish lot of time before that. Lord Krishna had gifted Amrish Maharaj the Sudarshan Chakra. I remember we had gone for an IYS Yatra in South India. That is the first time we went to Srirangam. And we performed a drama over there at one place. It seems the pastime was related to that place over there. And the drama was this particular drama. And the characters were very interesting. Madan Gopal Prabhu became Durvas Muni. Baldev Prabhu became Sudarshan Chakra. And Shikshashtakam Prabhu became Vishnu. And Nityanand Prabhu became Lakshmi Devi. And it was very interesting that although this whole drama was, it was actually a drama. But this pastime is so amazing that when I first at that time tried to find out how Sudarshan was actually gifted to Amrish Maharaj much before, the Lord had already known that in future my devotee is, you know, some policies we remove, that there has to be some protection. The Lord has already made, like just like a father makes all arrangements for his children, he has already made all arrangements so that there should be no problem for his devotee. So whenever one takes up to devotional service, One devotee came yesterday and he was worried that how will I make, you know, how will I survive here in this material world? But especially if you stay in the city, that pressure is there. But when our faith in association increases, we understand Krishna has already made all arrangements for us. Just like one devotee was in great anxiety. How will I get married? That's a big anxiety. Radhika Raman Prabhu, he was here. And I think morning Bhagavatam class, he was telling in the Bhagavatam class that some sannyasi asked him, so are you getting married? And he was in great anxiety. I don't know how I'm going to do. So he picked up the Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada is written over there. For every Krishna conscious devotee, Krishna has arranged a very wonderful devotee girl. So he does not have to worry. He should just concentrate on his Krishna consciousness. And after he read that, he was very happy. And of course, now he is married, very well settled. So Krishna is making wonderful arrangements for all devotees. And today, also being the auspicious day of the disappearance of three prominent acharyas of our sampradaya, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has contributed by giving us the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the pastime that he wrote about Lord Chaitanya, he actually heard it from Raghunath Das Goswami, who was under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was a secretary to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, from the point of view of a sadhaka, I am a struggler myself. So I want to just, and I was exploring that, how do I overcome all the problems that come in the life of a sadhaka? There's always so many problems in the practice of devotional service. In the process of surrendering to Krishna, we have all come so that we can gradually surrender to Krishna. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he defines surrender as an internal inclination or indication, external indication. What is our activity? A surrender is actually an external indication of our internal attachment and love that we have for at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and Radha. What does that mean? If we actually love Radha and Krishna, we actually are in the process of surrender, then the symptoms are what we do externally. Right? Some devotees had gone to Mayapur. And they mentioned that how at one place that they visited, there was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj. A very old man, around 80, 90 years old. And I also have personal experience of another disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, like that. And these devotees mentioned, when they went over there, this old man, when you're so old, you're bent, you cannot walk properly. When he saw that young devotees have come, he became so excited. It was like our BT group going. He became so excited and he said, Vaishnavas have come. And he went and he then sit. He went, he purchased some vegetables from the market. He said, I will cook. So all the devotees said, no, Babaji, you relax. We just come to see that there is a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We have come to take darshan. So no, you all are Vaishnavas. And he went and he started collecting all the ingredients, and he didn't have a stove or a gas. He just had collected some wood. You know, on the wood flame, it's very difficult to cook. And that way he made a big feast for all the devotees. And after making and cooking the big feast, he made them sit down and he personally served. Everyone was trying to stop him, but he would not listen. And he served each devotee. Now at that age where you are already chanting so many rounds, you are staying in dham, and some new boys, new devotees who come from Mumbai with long hair, and you can, just by looking at them you feel they are Vaishnavas, they are devotees of Krishna, then you want to serve them. So that is an external indication of love and attachment that the person has for Krishna, then naturally he will want to serve devotees of Krishna. For example, Duryodhan in Mahabharata, he has a desire to serve Krishna at one time, and he arranges a big feast. But of course, that's not a pure desire to serve Krishna. He has some ulterior motives. And Krishna is coming to Hastinapur as a peacemaker. So here Duryodhan is actually, Krishna does not accept his feast, first of all. He rejects it right on his face. And when he asks him, Krishna says that, why should I accept? I don't like you. Because Krishna says that the Pandavas are blameless and you have malice against them. You have malice in your heart against the Pandavas. And Krishna actually tells him there that those who have malice in their heart for my devotees, they have malice against me. I remember Radharath Maharaj mentioning in one lecture, if you have malice or envy towards devotees, then you actually have malice towards Krishna. All envy is actually directed towards Krishna. So saying like this, Krishna does not accept. And then he tries to capture Krishna. He does not want to kill Krishna. Duryodhan, he arranges, everybody tells him that you are a fool. You can never, even Karna, he says, I will assist you, but according to my understanding, Madhava cannot be captured. Because I have heard that he is God. And naturally, Krishna shows his Virat Roop and nobody can catch him. And then Krishna laughs and goes away. And then Krishna makes arrangements that Duryodhan is killed, ultimately. Now, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ye yatha mam prapadyante. That means, as you approach me, that is how I will reciprocate. So Duryodhan's approach was to arrest Krishna. Then Krishna's approach should have been to arrest him. But Krishna's approach was to kill him. He is not exactly ye yatha mam prapadyante. His reciprocation was much more severe than what Duryodhan did. Because Duryodhan had malice and hatred for the Pandavas. And anybody who has such type of attitude towards the devotees of Lord Krishna, then Krishna does not tolerate. Here in the pastimes of our Goswamis, we have the pastime of in the life of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wants to have a festival in his house, and he arranges for a 24-hour kirtan at his house. He invites many devotees, many people come to chant, and one of the prominent devotees that he invites is Miniketan Ramdas. And this Miniketan Ramdas is a very, very intimate associate of Lord Nityananda. So when he comes, he becomes very ecstatic in kirtan. He starts dancing and he starts jumping. It is said he climbed the shoulders of other devotees. And he was going mad and he would slap other devotees softly in ecstasy. It is mentioned. So it is bona fide to do these things. But provided we are on the platform of love. He was on the platform of pure love. So he was doing it. And so much so that when people looked at him in his ecstasy, there were bumps coming out like kadamba flowers. That doesn't happen to us. We may get bumps when somebody hits us in kirtan. So he was doing all these things, and all of them, practically most of them, they understood he's not an ordinary person. And they went and they offered their obeisances to him. There was one devotee who was doing aarti to the deities during that time. And he did not come to Gunarnava, his name is. And he did not come and offer obeisances to Miniketan Ramdas. And Miniketan Ramdas chastised him, saying that, see, another Roma Harshan Suta, who's not honoring. Now, it's quite amazing that I go to some place, I do some kirtan, and nobody comes and offers obeisance, and I become angry, and you don't offer obeisance to me. No, it's different. It is not like that. The idea is that he is accepting the respects on behalf of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Sometime back, I went to Tirupati temple. Huge temple, very beautiful, massive, thousands of devotees coming every day. And we were in a seminar, and there was Bhakti Vinod Maharaj, Sannyasi, some temple president from other senior devotees, Radhishyam Prabhu. So many people are there. And you know, I was like, when I go out, I realize what is the difference outside. You know, we are always here. So it was a different scene. And the temple president, Revati Raman Prabhu, he came to know that somebody from Chaupati has come, disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. So, Bhaktivinoda Maharaj was giving lecture one day, the other Radhishyam Prabhu gave lecture another day, and surely I was somewhere in the corner sitting over there. And that was the last day of our seminar, and we were supposed to leave. And he came up to me, I was sitting way, way behind, and he caught me. You know, he's a very busy man. He said, I want you to give the morning Bhagavatam class. So I said, Prabhu, you know, there's so many senior devotees here. He said, no, I want to hear from you. And he gave so much affection. He told me to give the class. He came and sat in my class. And then he saw that I got things arranged, whether I'm getting. And I was wondering that, you know, he does not even know me. But he's actually, I'm so junior to him and giving me so much of respect. I realized, naturally, it is because of his love and affection for Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Offering all the affection and love and respect to somebody, basically because he has a connection and to a very exalted personality. That is how you express your love and affection. Love me, love my dog. Very simple. So like that, Miniketan Ramdas was angry. And while he was going, the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who saw all this and who was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had strong faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being God, had very little faith in Nityananda Prabhu. And Miniketan Ramdas was an associate of Nityananda Prabhu. And this person went and had an argument with Miniketan Ramdas as to his behavior. Miniketan Ramdas was very, very annoyed. He took his flute. He's a coward boy with Nityananda Prabhu. He took his flute, he broke it, and he left that place. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he became very disturbed. He went to his brother and he chastised him. He told him that, you're a nonsense. You accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and you reject Nityananda Prabhu. He said, this is like accepting half the hen. You accept the hen, part of the hen which gives egg, and you give up that part which eats food. You cannot do that because you cannot accept half the hen. So it is useless. And he chastised him and he said, you'll be finished. Your spiritual life will be gone. And what happens? At night, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gets a dream where Lord Nityananda Prabhu appears himself. Very beautiful, dark, shining color, his body. And he has a red staff in his hand. And there are bumblebees around his feet. And there are other associates around him, fanning him, doing chamar, arti to him. And he's looking very beautiful. And he is very happy with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami because he chastised another devotee. His brother was also a devotee, but he did not accept Nityananda Prabhu. So he was very happy and he gave his mercy to him. And he said that everything will be okay. And he pointed out, go towards Vrindavan. And it is said that when he woke up, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Tatak Shane, exactly as when he woke up, that very moment, he got up and he walked towards Vrindavan. He didn't even think, you know. He woke up in the morning. When he woke up, he remembered, oh, Nityananda Prabhu came to my dream. And he started walking. So like that, offense to the devotee is very, very dangerous. as we define surrender, what are the problems in surrender? Pride and the different aspects of pride. Raghunath Das Goswami explains. And I call it, I put it into some code as CID, PID. CID, C is for committing offenses. I is for illusion. D is for deceit. And another I is for ignorance. D is for deviousness. And P is for pretense. So pride along which the aspects, these are different aspects of pride. And they are a great impediment, which I am facing so much, to surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna. The first was this thing. And let's take illusion. Raghunath Das Goswami explained that illusion, originally living entity is eternal servant of Krishna. That's his eternal position. But in his illusion form, because of material energy, as soon as he comes in contact, he's illusion, and he thinks that the transcend, the temporary object of this material world, is what he's supposed to be and collect. And therefore, he says the purest form of attachment is the attachment, is self-realization. So one should cultivate that attachment. Under illusion, we have cultivated attachment to temporary material objects here. And the purest form of attachment is self-realization. One should work toward that. And two things in that. The first is that one should be very anxious to develop this attachment. You know, one sometimes we may think, now I've come to Krishna consciousness, I will become self-realized. What is the question? We see that there are devotees in Chaitanya Charitamrita who are of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For example, the father of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Tapan Mishra. He was very, very erudite scholar. Everything is there in his life. And he is not thinking that now I am self-realized. He becomes very eager and actually at time frustrated that why and how I can achieve the perfection of life. And he actually goes searching, and because of his eagerness, he finds Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs him. And then he becomes so eager, he says, I want to give up all my family and come to you. One devotee is right here, he told me, I wanted to do that, and I went to Maharaj. And Maharaj called me, come here, sit here, call your wife. And he said, Mataji, do you think he's ready for this? Do you think you have all the security? Do you think you have security for your child and your house, education, everything will be taken care? She said, no, Maharaj. He said, I'm sorry, you cannot renounce now. Go back. Similarly, Tapan Mishra became so excited. He wanted to renounce, and Mahaprabhu said, no. Go and practice Krishna consciousness. Actually, at that time, there were only three devotees in the whole of Varanasi when Mahaprabhu came. One was Tapan Mishra, one was Chandrasekhara Acharya, and third was Raghunath Bhatta, who was a very small child. And he was so fortunate that when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was personally washing Mahaprabhu's plate and, you know, massaging his feet. Just imagine, just a small boy and doing all these personal services to the Lord. Just for a few months, the Lord was there. Then the Lord went away. And he separated. But that little association which he got with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was always meditating. You know, he fell in love with Lord Chaitanya. And he was always thinking, when will I meet my love? And 28 years, he grew up. And then he's going to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's thinking, will the Lord recognize me? Will he actually, even if he recognize me, will he now offer the same affection to me? It happens. When we are young, we meet one, you know, somebody comes to our house. Whenever that devotee, that person comes to us, you always bring some chocolate for us. You know, that's the way you can. I was in a preaching program in the pharmacy college. And the principal of that college came to drop me till the gate. And throughout the time when I was with the principal, his daughter was there. It's little, very little, tiny girl. And I was like, you know, trying to, they're Christians. So I was trying to make friends with the daughter. No, love me, love my dog. I was trying to make friends so that I could also please the principal. And this daughter would not talk to me. She would not even look at me. You know. And so I said, it's very difficult to make friends with this child. You know. And I was about to leave. And while I was leaving, I just asked, so what shall I bring for you from Mumbai? What do you like to eat? And after all these few hours, almost 5 hours we spent together, we went to different places. The child was lit up. I said, I want this, some chocolate, some crisp chocolate or something she mentioned. You bring that for me. And I was shocked that, you know. So you make attachment with somebody. And then when you grow up, and you don't see that uncle or that auntie who's to come to your house always when you were young, and in front of them, actually when you look at them, they have become old, you have grown up, and you feel, hurry. And they treat you like children. Like, you know, they may probably bring you the same chocolate when they used to bring when you were young, and give you that. Similarly, here Raghunath Bhatta Goswami is thinking, I'm going to meet Mahaprabhu, will he recognize me? And even if he recognized me, will he offer the same affection to me? Because when I was young, he would embrace me, I would press his feet, he would wash his plate. And actually, Mahaprabhu does reciprocate because he's Paramatma in his heart. And when Raghunath Bhatta Goswami comes, offers his obeisances, Lord Chaitanya gets up, embraces him, and he tells him to stay with him. And every day, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami is cooking for the Lord. You know, he cooks the Lord's lunch, he offers it, serves him, and the Lord eats, and whatever Mahaprasad is left, he directly eats from the Lord. So he's a very fortunate soul. It's very amazing that the Lord treats him like his own child. And then he instructs him that don't get married. Very few people the Lord tells, and he tells him, remain a brahmachari. Go and serve your parents and then come back to me. So like that, illusion is one thing, that we should be anxious to develop attachment to the process. And the second thing is, we should not depend on luck. You know, I have come. If luck is there, I will get self-realization, I will progress. So that is also a wrong attitude. I will end in another 2 minutes because it's time up. But a very wonderful, important point for me is this point of deceit, because I have a lot of problem with this thing. So deceit is another thing, another aspect of pride, which is very dangerous, and Raghunath Das Goswami gives amazing instructions for deceit. He says that deceit has 6 enemies. He gives the example of 6 enemies. We know lust, greed, pride, envy, illusion, anger. And these 6 enemies are compared to 6 robbers or thugs. And there are pilgrims who are walking, and these thugs come, and what do? They come, and it's not that they come in front of them with a knife. It's not that they warn them. They just come with some rope, and they strangle them from behind. See, if somebody comes in front and something, then you just like, yes, what do you want? Take, don't kill me. But if somebody comes from behind and strangles you, then it's like, very difficult. And these thugs, they come and strangle. So a progressing devotee on the path of Krishna consciousness has these different thugs of lust, greed, envy, illusion coming and strangling him. Very, very painful. And what are the different the ropes that they use for strangling? Pain. See, physical pain is one thing, but mental pain. And futile endeavor. That's another rope that they use. I remember during our, we didn't have BT at that time, but we were in Brahmacharis White, and we used to go for book distribution every day. So Braj Bihari Prabhu was excellent book distributor. He is even now. And he would go to, we had not yet started, I think, local trains that time. Bombay Central outstation trains. So he would go, and every day he would get like 60 small books. In just few hours, he would go there and come. And I would also go on the same platform, but I would hardly distribute two books or something like that. I was wondering, that why is it that I cannot? And so some days he would not go. And I would go on that day. And I would really, many more hours, struggle, over endeavor. Futile endeavor, but endeavor was very futile. And I would not be able to do maybe two books extra. It was a big gap from 60 to, what, 5? I was frustrated that, you know, why I'm not getting all that glory. And I went and asked Braj Bihari Prabhu, how do you do it? And then he told me the techniques. He was very kind. He said, I make sets of 5 books. Small sets, put a rubber band on that. And then I go and I don't tell the people that, you know, I'm selling one book. I tell them, it's just a set. If you have to buy, then you have to buy a set because it's in discount. You know, so it's a set. And then they had to buy the whole 5 books. And that's how I do that. I said, that's it. And he said, the second thing is, when they are taking the book, I actually, two things I do. When I take the book, I don't give it to them in their hand. Because people are so materialistic in Mumbai, that if you're giving them something, they're like, you know, get out. We don't want. I give them the book, then I take it from them. I put it like that and do like this. So, they touch the book, they feel is something there, they feel somebody is taking what belongs to them. You know, they feel somebody is taking what, so then they catch the book. That, hey, don't take what belongs to me. And then I tell them, and immediately confuse the mind and phew. And then they buy it and they realize, what have I done? You know, after some time. And that's the second thing. And third thing that I do is, I pray to the Paramatma in their heart intensely. I pray. Krishna, please inspire them. Please inspire them to buy this book. Pray. And I understood all the techniques and I did that. And actually, exactly 60 books I sold that day and I came back. And next day I went and it did not happen. Because Krishna wanted to show me that you have an endeavor just for name and fame. It's not for service. Therefore, your endeavor is a futile endeavor. It is like a rope around your neck, squeezing you, strangling you, not going to help you progress in your Krishna consciousness. So, distressing. And the other is, other type of rope that they use is, different distressing situations which arise in our mind, in our heart, from our previous unwanted activities. So many activities we have done in our previous pre-Krishna conscious life. And now and then they just arise. They also strangle us in situations. We try to become a saint, and situations come in such a way, test us. Are you really a saint? And all the past conditioning just comes out. Oh, Krishna, please give me the strength. I am going to Varna for preaching. In Mumbai, if you go in Saffron, nobody bothers. They don't care who you are. Everybody, even if you come in Saffron, they'll take money. Taxi, rickshaw, everybody. But outside of Mumbai, believe me, there is so much of piety. People, life is slow, they're very cultured. And I'm telling you, I'm walking on the street in a village called as Gosarwad. There are people walking. There's one man riding on a bike. I have a student with me who was coming to our program here in GCH. Came to meet me. We both are walking. Somewhere close by fields, main road we are walking. One man comes on the main road on the bike, two people on the bike. Parks the bike right in front of me. So the student with me is frightened because recently we had the Babri Masjid issue. So we thought that, let's get ready. Something is going to take place. The man gets out of the bike and puts full prostrated obeisance on the road. at my feet, like both his hand on my feet and his head down, and we are like shocked, and gets up and say namaskar, and the other person also offers obeisances on the road, and I don't know what to say, so I have a program in the evening in that village over there, so I just tell him, if you have time, we have a program here. I don't give him address or anything. And in the evening, he's there in the program. Somehow he finds out where is the program. He comes a little late, but he's there in the program. So people are so, they force you to make you a sadhu. Yeah? Live by the standards of sadhu. And believe me, after going out from here, there's more gravity that has developed in one sense, because we have to live by the standards of, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning in one lecture. When we put the tilak, when we put the kanti mala, when we put this dress of a Vaishnava and we go out, we should understand we are representing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are a soldier of the army of Mahaprabhu. So actually, it's all by the blessings of, you know, purified souls like Radha Gopinath Prabhu, who keep encouraging me. Okay, no problem. Carry on. So I thank him a lot. Otherwise, it will be very difficult for me to survive. Anyways, it's over time. Thank you very much for being attentive. And if you want more details of what has been discussed, please read this book by Raghunath Das Goswami, Manas Shiksha. And you can get more details. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.